My wife and I were given a gift bottle of wine. It hung around the house for a while.
The first element in a bouquet of wine is to get your nose down into the wine glass.
He's looking at you, kid.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
And so begins the battle of wits.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, everything you ever wanted to know about the vine and the wonderful, magical beverage that it creates. So, we have a great show coming up for you today. We are talking about money on my mind. I don't know if money's on your mind. It is certainly on mine right now. And we have guests who can actually give us some great perspective looking at money. Obviously, we changed the way we drink a little bit in this economy, but we have some actual doctors and some experts for a change who can tell us more about it. We're going to be talking with Robert Eiler. He's the director for Center for Regional Economic Analysis at Sonoma State College. We also have Stephen Stackeran, the Winemakers Federation of Australia. So we're going to have you a couple interesting opinions and, most importantly, a couple interesting accents for those of you who get tired of mine. Well, I don't know about you, but I have finally recovered from Super Bowl Sunday. Great game. Enjoyed it immensely. But I have to send congratulations out right now. My congratulations go to Kent from North Carolina, because Kent is the one that came up with the answer to the question I posed you. What quarterback gave his name to a bottle of wine that's strictly for charity? So many of you figured it out, I'm sure. That would be Joe Montana. He got together with the rock star winemaker Ed Sabraja to make Montaja. And it's one of the most valuable wines you can get your hands on, in the fact that it was never released for public consumption and you can't buy it. It's only auctioned off at charity functions. Right there is a good enough reason for you to go support your local charities right now. Lord knows they need our money. But talking about money, I don't know about you, as we come up into February, I'm starting to think about my accountant. This is generally a woman I don't want to think about most years. She's an ex-IRS agent, thank God. But she helps me get prepared to look back to last year. And in doing so, I've gotten all my forms together, my 401k information. And I don't know where you stand on this, but the more I got through looking at all these tax forms and looking at my 401k, looking at my Roth, various investments, and seeing that if I had done nothing in 2008 and hadn't put a cent into the fund, I'd be in about the same shape that I am now. So, of course, that means we have to drink our woes away. And that's exactly what we're going to do right now, because I'm going to give you our WOW, our weekly wine recommendation on your sips and trips. So, as I was doing my taxes, of course, you know I'm going to fall back on my favorite. We had to drink a little bit of Chardonnay. But I'm thinking ahead to spring. I'm thinking positive thoughts. So I'm drinking out of Carneris. BV, Beaulieu Vineyards, does a Carneris Reserve Chardonnay. Got my hands on the new vintage of this, and I have talked about it in past shows. This thing is stellar. Carneris region is doing some great things with the past vintage. It's upbeat. It's lively. It's got a lot of green apple. It's got a lot of tropical fruit in it. You get a little bit of banana, and of course, you have a little bit of oak to balance it all out. So for those of you trying to get your tax woes, if you think about tax, you think about W-2, you think about IRS, think of other initials. Think of BV, because it's a great way to drown your sorrows. Along those lines, for those of you who are looking for something a little bit less expensive, let's stay with the whole initial concept and go to I.O. Syrah. Great bottle of wine that can give you a nice, well-rounded, fruity, fleshed-out flavor. Has a little bit of blackberry, a little bit of currant in it, but it doesn't have all those tannins that tend to just eat at the back of your mouth and eat at your teeth. Kind of like the IRS forms and the tax forms are eating at my subconscious at this point. So there are your weekly wine recommendations. Let's do some BV Carneris Reserve Chardonnay, and let's do some I.O. Syrah. Both of these out of California, since I went off to France last time. I'm going to get on a little bit of a soapbox here at the start of the show. I know all of y'all have enjoyed this immensely when I have done this. But I think there's something interesting that's sweeping the country right now. And I don't know about your city, but my city is doing something called Restaurant Week. And what Restaurant Week is, they go to the finest restaurants in the city. They say, listen, we're asking you to put up a menu. $30 a head, you get an appetizer, you get a salad, you get an entree, and you get a dessert. It's a great way to get people in to try these high-end restaurants. It's a great way to get people out and spending money and stimulating the economy. I think it's wonderful. I think it's a great opportunity. And this comes to your city, by all means, get involved. Try out restaurants you wouldn't ordinarily try. But this soapbox is directed more to the restaurant owners and to the wait staff who tune into the Wine Crush. We like the fact that we are your guidepost. We like the fact that you trust our advice. So please, for the love of diners everywhere, listen to us. Just because these are not regular people coming into your restaurant, everybody has a first experience with your establishment, whether it's because of a coupon, whether it's because of a $30 menu, whether it's because it's an early bird special. These people obviously have money. We are coming into your establishment. They are buying what you have to serve, and that's where you need to focus on. You need to serve everybody equally. Just because these are not the high rollers, I am not the president of certain banks coming into your restaurant who come in on a weekly basis, does not mean that you give me lackadaisical service. It does not mean that I can't be upsold. It does not mean that I am not worth your time. So here is a tidbit for you. These people that you are taking care of with substandard service could possibly be your next regular customer. But instead of going above and beyond and cheating the whole dining establishment out of what could be an excellent experience, you are standing in the back, you are standing at counters, you are not paying attention to the diners who could be your future income. Treat everybody the same, regardless of when they come in, regardless of how they come in. It's money, it spends, and learn to respect it. So there's my soapbox for today. I'm sure that's going to generate a little bit of call. So please call us, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Email us, info@winecrush.com. And for those of you who are partial to the four-letter words, of course, there's always my Facebook so that we can go head-to-head on this. Well, coming up after the break, we are going to have Stephen Strachan. He is with the Winemakers Federation of Australia, and he's going to talk about the problems we have in Australia right now, the overproduction, the lack of water, and what we can expect to see from our country down under. So, I hope you are tuned in, I hope you're awake, and I hope you're ready for a very exciting Wine Crush today.
Hey, we're still looking for a picture of you enjoying a delicious glass of wine. Head over to the Wine Crush group page on Facebook and send it there, or email it to info@winecrush.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it. So call us right now. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. 700-5437. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, call us now and see how we can help you. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're self-employed or run a small business, you know your business bottom line. But do you know your bottom line when it comes to your family's health insurance? The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company helps self-employed folks and small business owners focus on the bottom line every day when it comes to their health insurance plans. Here's the bottom line. If you don't have the right health insurance plan, you could be in trouble. Check your health insurance coverage today and call Mega, where the bottom line is quality health insurance designed for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call now for your free health insurance quote. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437. Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and you're listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory. Well, today we're focusing a little bit on money, and I know that can be a depressing topic. Like I was saying, meeting with my accountant, all those initials, it's unnerving. But we do have to think about the broader picture. And a very, very good question is, how is this recession, how is this economic downturn going to affect what I'm going to be drinking in the upcoming years? I don't know about you, but I plan to be around for a while, and any day above ground with a glass of Chardonnay is bound to be a good one. So since we think about globalization, since we think about the impact that the U.S. and everything going on our markets has to have on the rest of the world, we have a very interesting guest for you today. We're going to get a dark side down under opinion. We have Mr. Stephen Strawn, and he is one of the executives of the Winemakers Federation, and he is joining us today to talk about how their industry may be about to face its most challenging vintage in decades. So let's turn the problem outward. Let's see what's going on in the rest of the world. Stephen, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Hello, Laura.
Thank you so much for calling in and joining us. I know it's a major time difference to get all of us on the same page, so thank you for being perky and awake.
That's a pleasure, and I don't know if I've ever been described as coming from the dark side, so that's a pleasure as well.
Hey, it's a good thing. We consider ourselves the dark side here on the Wine Crush because we are the anti-wine wine people, so it just means you're one of us.
Excellent. Very pleased to hear.
Well, talk to me about what you are seeing. You think Australia is going to have one of the worst vintages ever. What's going on down there?
Worst is probably not quite the right description, one of the toughest. We're going through some very dramatic changes in Australia, and I think many of your listeners would be aware that the Australian wine industry has grown phenomenally in the last decade and a half. And I think really we're paying the price for that growth. We're going through the growing pains that that any industry would go through after that sort of growth. And we're going through a period of readjustment. And I think the 2009 vintage for us, which has just commenced, is going to be very, very tough because there's a whole range of factors that point to, you know, the outlook worsening for our industry and every other industry internationally. And we're going to see a fair bit of adjustment. And we've also got a range of our own local issues that we've got to consider as well.
Yeah, we've discussed some of the local issues here on the show. Actually, a couple shows ago, we brought up what was going in Coonawarra when they have what they're trying to put highways through vineyards and all this kind of stuff. But that's something you kind of advocate, isn't it? Aren't you looking to downplay the size of vineyards and the amount of wine produced?
Well, yes and no. I mean, what we're saying is that the Australian industry's footprint is a bit larger than it really needs to be if you look at where our viable markets are. But, you know, all of that said, if you've got a region like Coonawarra, which is a world-famous region, you don't want to be building highways through it. You want to be maximising the vineyards that you can get out of that region because they make, you know, world-class wine that the world wants. So our issue is really more to do with those regions that have got grapes planted that that perhaps don't command the sort of prices in the international marketplace that that Coonawarra's and some of those regions have. And those growers and those winemakers are finding that the going's very, very tough. And what we're saying to them is, well, it's actually not going to get any easier over the next 12 to 18 months. If you're thinking about getting out of the business, then now is probably the right time to make that decision, because the whole industry needs to move forward on a very proactive basis, and we need people there that have got viable businesses, and we need to really focus on our marketing and make sure we produce good quality product and get it into the marketplace at, of course, an affordable price.
For our listeners, Stephen, correct me if I'm wrong. You have to see this in the perspective. Yes, it's taken maybe 100 years for California to get to where it is as far as being a wine country, but if you think about the whole region of California, it's fairly limited where you can go grapes. When you look at Australia, they have blown up since 1960. In 40 years, they have planted so many vineyards that I think currently you have more vineyards now than Chile and California combined?
We're actually not larger than California,
okay.
But we're in sort of that ballpark. We produce about just under 2 million tonnes of grapes a year. And you're right, there's 64 wine regions in Australia now. And, you know, frankly, we could have another 50 wine regions. There's a lot of very good quality land. There's a lot of areas where they've got good access to water. But, of course, you only want to expand to the point where the world wants your wine. And at the moment, the world's saying, well, you know, we want to trade down. We don't want to spend as much as we did last year on our wine. And so that makes the environment pretty tough for anyone who's coming into the industry, and Australia's not unique. I'm sure that the growers in California and Chile and southern France and any other region you care to imagine are suffering from the same issues there.
So the heart and soul of what you see the problem right now in 2009 is just too many grapes, too many vineyards, too many things producing.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at, take the United Kingdom market, for example, where Australia is the number one supplier into the UK market, we've got about 23% of the market over there. What's happening at the moment is, because Australia has got too many grapes, we're competing with ourselves in that market. We're the country that is most often on promotion. We're very heavily discounting our wines, and no one's making any money. The consumers are getting fantastic deals, of course, and good luck to them. But what we're saying is, well, let's get out of that rat race, because really it's a spiral downwards. And the only way to get out of that rat race is not to be forced into the deal. And the best way for that to happen is for us to see less vineyards. And so really what we're saying is that market forces will prevail, that that we will go through a natural progression as an industry, but we would like that to happen as quickly as possible. And our view is that let's get the pain out of the way as quickly as we possibly can, and then let's get back into the business of building profitable markets and profitably marketing the wine that we make so well in Australia.
I think we find a lot of times, you can see it with California, secondary off-brands, you know, whether it's our two-buck chuck.
Yep.
It seems like people forget the whole concept of demand and supply. People sit back, they look and say, oh, well, they're making great wine, they're making a lot of money, I'll plant grapes, I'll join into that. And people tend to forget that once supply hits a certain level, demand is going to drop.
That's exactly right. And I think, you know, the excuse that we have as an industry is that the lag times, or the lead times from, you know, when you plant a vineyard till it becomes bearing and then till it makes fruit of a decent enough quality and all of that, you know, it can be about 6 years. So it's quite often that you make a decision and 6 years later the marketplace has changed quite considerably. That's the excuse. But the other part of the equation is that everyone wants to be involved in this industry, and that's what makes it so exciting, and it's why your listeners are so interested in it. It's why you and I work in it. You know, it's a great industry to be in. But that means, of course, that with everyone coming into the industry, it adds to that supply situation. It's been very sexy industry, flavour of the month now for over a decade in Australia, and California's been the same. I think we're all going through that period where okay, it's been flavor of the month, but really, you know, where's the profits? Where's the future? And people are asking some of those questions in Australia. What we're doing is trying to help them make those decisions so that those that are, you know, in the business of the wine industry, who've got long-term futures in this industry, can actually have a profitable long-term future.
Well, of course, the Americans and the UKs, we're going to respond to what Australia's doing. Traditionally, y'all have had really, really great grapes. And let's face facts, if you're going to talk about sexy, there's not an American that doesn't love to hear an Australian winemaker or wine person talk just about anything. So, Stephen, I appreciate it.
Australians have got plenty of opinions about everything. So.
Which is why we've always considered you our brothers in arms. Well, Stephen, definitely thank you for being part of the Crush and giving our listeners a broader sight on what's going on with the world. I know that they're as interested as I am to see the great grapes of Australia find their high note. And hopefully, just like some of the lost brands in California, the rest will just go by the wayside.
Look, it's my pleasure, Laura, and thank you very much for giving me the opportunity.
Oh, Stephen, no, thank you. All right, so there we've had a small global view about what's going on. You know, we warned you there was a flood coming, and apparently it's starting to attract the attention of PhDs and people who are up in levels where they can realize that the money's not going to come pouring in just because the juice does. But we have more people who are going to talk about that besides me later on the show. But before we get to that, going to give you, of course, the way to reach us, 877-4-CRUSH-1. You can email us, info@winecrush.com. And, of course, you can contact me on my blog. And I'd love to hear what you are thinking right now. Not only is the whole recession affecting you, but we're going to have an ocean of juice out there. What would you like to see done with it? What do you think are the solutions? All of us are looking for some. We're sure that one of you probably has it. Like I said, more interesting guests coming up on the show. And also, we are going to go into your calls and your emails so that we can know for sure what is on your mind. So as we keep money on your mind, we're going to take a small break right here. But more exciting stuff on The Crush when we return.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air. Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare. When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Eight. We've worked together for years.
Seven. I'm the parking attendant. I park your car every day.
One in eight Americans is struggling with hunger.
Six. We speak at PTA meetings all the time.
Including millions of children and seniors.
Five. I went to summer camp with your son last year.
Four. I'm your old friend. We went to high school together.
Someone you know is in need.
Three. I work at the gas station. I pump your gas.
Two. I'm your neighbor. Our kids are classmates.
Who's the one in eight in your life that needs help?
One. We live next door to each other.
You can make a difference through Feeding America and its nationwide network of more than 200 food banks. Take action at feedingamerica.org/1in8. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your guide through the world about the grape. We just got done talking with Mr. Stephen Strawn. He's with the Wine Federation in Australia. And I just want to point out an interesting fact. What he was talking about is the great amount of tonnage of juice that's coming from Australia for 2009 vintage. He said there were 2 million tons of grapes planted. Now, of course, you know me. I like to break things down, especially since my mind is on my taxes. But 1 ton of grapes is 62 cases. But more importantly, it's 744 bottles of wine. So on average, 1 ton of grapes, 744 bottles of wine. So what Stephen is anticipating coming from Australia next year would be 1,488,000,000 bottles of wine coming from Australia. I would love to talk to someone who knew a lot about population, because I'd truly like to know what the world population is right now and how that would break out per person just on Australian wine for everyone to have a bottle. I think that's a great slogan, Australian wine. All 1,488,000,000 of you need to have a bottle. I don't disagree with that. So, as always, this show is all about you. And fortunately, we have some really timely emails to hit on today. I have from Karen in Oklahoma. In big vintages, what happens to leftover juice? It's a shame we don't have our sexy Australian still on the phone. I'm sure he'd come up with some ideas. But I think the easiest way to look at that is from a California perspective. We've touched on this before. A lot of times what you start seeing pop up are secondary labels and tertiary labels, and it goes on and on and on. But what happens, say a winery, and I'm going to say Lawson Winery, and I apologize to the actual Lawson Winery. Please know I'm not referring to you. I'm referring to me. Lawson Winery, we only produce 1,000 cases of wine a year. Well, I've got 2,000 cases worth of juice to do something with. Well, I want to keep my quality up. So the 1,000 cases of juice that's just really not any good, I do three things with it. One, I sell it off to my neighbor. Maybe Mr. Somebody that ends in a vowel who produces a whole lot of mass juice, and he buys that contractually and he puts that into his wine. Secondly, I can actually auction it off. There is a juice auction that does occur in Napa, Sonoma, California, Central Valley, where people can actually pay to get your juice. And that's what happens when you get secondary labels, third labels from some of the larger wineries. Maybe wines. Here's a great example, Tunnel of Elms, or a wine like Sycamore Lane. These wineries go ahead that have leftover juice and do a second bottling. The wines are still very, very, very good, but the wine doesn't get poured down the sink. Or finally, with the leftover juice you have, you personally can bottle a second label. I know Landmark did this very successfully with a wine called Adobe Canyon for a number of years. So three options. You can sell it, you can auction it, or you can make it your own. Past that, I know in other countries they turn it into spirits, which might be what poor Australia has to look at. All right, on the flip side of that, we have an email from Tamara in Washington State. I hear about the drought in Southern California. What happens if there's not enough grapes? Well, it's very simple. We can all start drinking Australian wine. Really, we're looking ahead at 2009 being a tough vintage if this drought continues in California. If there aren't as many grapes, we hope that there'll be enough rain that we can have vines that struggle, that work hard in the dirt so they can produce the best possible little grapes they could. Or on the flip side of it, a lot of wineries are just going to have to cut production. And, of course, if they cut production, we know our wine's going to go up. We had our little supply and demand lecture earlier. If supply drops, demand goes up. And despite the fact we're in a recession, we're going to have to pay more to drink more. But once again, think Aussie, think Boomerang, think Down Under. We know there will always be a steady supply of juice from the Roo Land. All right, we have more opinions coming up because we have Mr. Robert Eiler from Sonoma State University who's going to give us a true doctoral opinion on what's going on with the wine world and your money. So stay tuned.
Sure, it's a best of show this week, but next week Laura Lawson returns to talk about the new fall harvest. So don't miss the next exciting edition of The Wine Crush.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. ZMAX, performance you can feel.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious.
And so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes.
And soon you'll realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality.
When they learn to
play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Nibbling on sponge cake. Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and we've had fun so far on the show today talking a little bit about money and the problems that we are seeing in this economy. But right now, I know you're kind of tired of hearing about me and what I think about money, so why don't we get an expert on the line? Right now, we have Robert Eiler. He is in charge of the Center for Regional Economic Analysis at Sonoma State University. So if there is a man who has an eye on the vine and what's going on behind it, it is definitely going to be Robert. Robert, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing lovely. Thank you for calling in and being part of the show today.
Sure.
So reading over what you're talking about, the recession will end eventually in Sonoma County. Question for you. You say the bread and butter of Sonoma is tourism and wine. Explain that to our listeners.
Well, the wine industry itself has really grown up over the last 20 years in the sense that it has now built a tourism arm through its tasting rooms and through strategic arrangements that it has with local restaurants and other tourism facilities. And so it has really now – it encompasses a large amount of employment and businesses in our county here in Sonoma. And it really is a draw of people all around the world who want sort of a taste of the wine country but don't necessarily want to go to Europe for it. And with this county in specific has really become a mecca for food, wine, and just entertainment in general at sort of the adult level.
I think you're going to see more and more of that. As people talk about not going to Europe, they talk about the weakening dollar. People who want to pursue wine are still going to pursue it. I think we'll find more and more people making the trek to Sonoma. Everyone's tired of bar hopping through Napa, so let's actually go where the farmers and the friendly people are.
Yeah, and there's another piece of that, too, is that we have just opened air service about 2 years ago to Los Angeles, Seattle, and Portland and Las Vegas. And so it's made it a lot easier for people from the East Coast to now come to Sonoma County and basically drop directly in the geographic center of the county. And very close to the major wine regions there in Alexander and Russian River Valley. So, yeah, I mean, Sonoma County's done a really good job through their tourism board of trying to figure out different ways of bringing people from all over the country. But you're right, the recession has had some effect on local travel in the sense that people in the Bay Area and the South Bay where Silicon Valley is have now looked at Sonoma County and Napa County, of course, as relatively low cost but good alternatives to travel.
Well, I think what we're seeing is everyone around the country is fighting the recession. So you think about farming industry, you think about the industry in Sonoma, and you don't think that much about a recession hitting y'all. But of course, it's going to. Now, this is interesting. I read your article in the Press Democrat. Last week, we had a green show, and we talked about solar energy, and we talked about geothermal and everything that the wineries are doing to become more and more green. And something you commented on, that one of the ways Sonoma is going to come out of their recession is to focus on these newer energies, these greener projects. Is this something that's really going to be feasible? Because when you hear people talk about green, it seems awful expensive to go to the solar aspect of things.
Yeah, well, you know, the one thing about green technology, if you want to put it that way, is that it's an industry that has a lot of innovation building up within it. So the hope is that in a very easy analogy to what happened in the 1980s with microcomputing and what happened in the 90s with the internet and communications revolutions we saw. In environmental technology or green technology, there's a lot of merging sciences that are coming together to try to solve our energy dependence or independence issues, as depending on which side of it you see it as. So here in Sonoma County, we actually have a local incubator that is looking to facilitate the growth of small companies that are focused on sustainable products. And the wine industry just happens to be an industry that is obviously large locally, but has been focusing on sustainability for now over a decade. So it's that synergy that exists here between high-tech folks that want to get into more energy technology, and the wine industry has been doing sustainability now for a number of years, is likely to catch some fire and really grow here locally.
It's nice to know when all of my winemakers and all of my wine friends are ahead of the time. I've had that argument many a times. One thing that's, of course, pressing with all of us, we look at the recession. So anytime there's bad news about things going on in the United States, it's going to be front page. And even on the East Coast where I am, it talks about the horrible drought that's happening both in the Central Valley and up in your neck of the woods. Is this going to delay coming out of the recession for Sonoma Valley if the drought continues?
Yeah, it could, in the sense that it'll increase costs for all businesses and for residents. And so one thing that the local water agency is dealing with is how do you mitigate some of the problems that can come? And what it basically boils down to is you have to pick either quantity conservation, in the sense that residents and businesses have to consider either retrofitting their homes with water-conserving products or simply just taking shorter showers and not watering the lawn as often. Businesses, of course, have to think about, you know, how their employees are using water, and if they're a water-intensive business, like the wine industry, for example, you have to really start thinking about how you're using your drip irrigation, what your reservoirs are looking like, what your water costs are going to be if you're on a municipal system. In agriculture, there's a lot of factors involved in water, and I just read a study that 70% of the water consumed in the world is actually for agricultural use. So it's a big issue in counties and local economies in which agriculture is actually a large part. So a water shortage locally here is going to touch every single citizen and business. There's no doubt about it. The wine industry is likely to be hit in particular harder than others because it's an agriculturally based industry.
Well, a lot of our winemakers like to talk about how they like to see the struggle in the vines. Well, y'all might have a very struggling year ahead of you.
Yeah, shocking the vines is something I've heard a lot of winemakers talk about also, but they may get a real shock on this one.
I'm sure all of our listeners in the Southeast can definitely attest to that after the drought they've had for the 2 years.
Sure.
Well, question for you. Obviously, living in Sonoma, dealing with the recession, how are you personally dealing with the recession? What are some things you're doing to make a difference?
Well, at home, what I did is about 15 months ago, I got out of all my stocks and went to cash with the idea that I had a feeling this was coming and there were going to be some historic bargains out there in the stock market as far as after the prices dropped. I never saw the real estate contraction at the magnitude that we had, even here, but also nationwide, that has taken place. And that, of course, is always front page news, especially if you're reading the Wall Street Journal. Any new housing statistics makes the front page. But I've been actually running around quite a bit here. I've been speaking about 15, 20 times a year to local business groups and other constituencies about the local economy. And so that's basically what I've been doing for the last couple of months, is just doing economic outlooks and trying to provide people with both a good education about how we got to where we are, but also some good and bad aspects of where we need to go. And so, you know, I've been trying to provide at least some silver lining out there for folks as best I can.
So you're the man of the hour. All of our questions, you can solve it. We can call you our Sonoma superhero.
Well, I don't know about that, but I have at least a decent reputation around town for being a person that gives you a straightforward answer, in that, you know, if I had tell you what's going on, I generally believe it in my heart that it's happening. I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything.
Well, I like the fact that, I don't understand how you can quite get away with not sugarcoating anything, being straightforward, and I get in trouble for it. Go figure.
Well, as an academic, we're a little lucky. We get to kind of sit in an ivory tower and not take a political position and basically just say the facts and give, you know, pontificate at what we think is going to take place. And having a university credential kind of helps mitigate any issues on the outside.
It does help. I can see a day where I could really enjoy being the Dr. Lawson. We've got a few minutes left, so I have to ask you a very, very quick question. Talking about the real estate, obviously y'all have seen a decline in California more so than the rest of the countries in the price of real estate. In doing so, for all of our listeners out there around the country who've ever wanted to have their own acreage, their own vineyard, is now a good time to buy in Sonoma?
I think it is. One of the things I've been saying is that there's going to be internal and external demand for real estate in this area, which may not hold for all the areas in the United States. So there is a natural draw for people with wealth, or people that have been saving or have made money in their house or in their land to sell it and potentially make the move to living in wine country. We are at certainly a historic period as far as where we were at a peak to where we've dropped off to. We are still relatively high median home price and median land price versus, let's say, the early 1990s. So we've been on a really good run the last 15 years, and it's still a relatively high price concerning that. But it's now, in many ways, dropped to what you could think of as a flatter growth trend than the sort of exponential trend we were on.
Well, good. So we're back in the land of reality.
And but one of the biggest questions I've been asking of people to consider is that whether or not the old pricing was correct or the new pricing is actually correct. It seems like the new pricing is a little bit more in sync with where it should have been, but it's a market. So, you know, if you're willing to buy it, the price is going to rise.
Fair enough. Well, Robert, thank you for calling in and being part of the Crush. It's nice to have a bona fide doctoral expert on the show to show that we're totally not crazy around here. Robert, have a great night.
All right, take care.
Now, see, you can take that exactly from an expert. Buy your vineyard in Sonoma now. Invest in your green technologies, and along the way, you can drink all of my wonderful wine recommendations so it can ease the pain of the money you're going to spend on technologies and real estate. I think we have this down to a science. Okay, we've talked about taxes, we've talked about real estate, we've talked about green investment, and of course, now we've talked about my personal taxes, and then of course, we have recession, we have overcropping, and we have wanting to drink well. Everyone's wondering, how is she possibly going to tie all of this together into one grand summation and make this a show that makes sense? You're going to have to wait on that till after the break.
We will sell no wine before it's time.
The Wine Crush.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete. Hi-yah! Brick walls. Hi-yah! Trees. Hi-yah! Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Break out the ale! These men are thirsty! Yeah!
The Wine Crush.
Well, I guess we better get on with it.
to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and we are slowly wrapping up the show about Money on My Mind. And I know all of you are sitting on the edge of your seats trying to figure out how I'm going to make a brilliant insight out of this. And actually, it's fairly simple. We've talked about the recession in Sonoma today. Obviously, if you're in a recession, you want to drink less expensively. We've talked about the overcropping that's happening in Australia, the fact there's too much juice and not enough market to go around. So that means you're drinking less expensively the stuff that's coming out of Australia. So it seems like this would be the perfect storm for wine drinkers, but we've forgotten one really important key component, and that is we all want to drink well. So I'm going to go back to where my taxes tie in, because I've been putting pencil to paper on a lot of things, and I'm going to give you a brief insight that should mean a lot to you. Around the world, the average ton of Chardonnay costs $2,600. That means there's $3.50 worth of average grapes in your average wine bottle. That means every time you pour a glass, you're only getting 70 cents worth of juice. I personally drink a little bit differently. I want to drink well, and I have no problems paying to drink well because it's a luxury of my life. So when you look at really relative Chardonnays, the ones that run from $12 to $22, it's $6,000. I'm sorry, it is $6,080 a ton for the Chardonnays that cost $12 to $20. That means there's $8.18 worth of juice in every bottle, $1.64 in every glass that I drink. So I'm sitting back, and if I want to look at this in terms of dollars and cents, recession, juice flows or not, if I have to choose whether I want $1.64 worth of grapes in my glass, or if I want 70 cents worth of grapes in my glass, it seems to me I'm always going to get a better value by drinking what I love. So are the inexpensive Australians great? Yes, they're very nice. Are the wines coming out of Sonoma that are under $7 good? Yes, they are very nice. But I don't know about you. If I'm going to put my dollar behind something, I want something more than very nice. I want that $1.64 in my glass. So there we have tied it all together for those of you who have followed through with the whole show. I encourage the rest of you, do listen to the upcoming shows. We are going to have something a little more upbeat, a little more positive. We'll be talking about Valentine's Day, and we're also going to give you the stories behind the stories. We're going to talk about some of the famous vineyards and how they got that way. Well, I'm Laura Lawson, and I remind you always, sip socially, drink responsibly, but most importantly, in vino veritas. In wine, there is truth.